Very good. Good morning, Ms. Lyde. Welcome back, Ms. Lucy.
Thank you.
Item number 15, Madam Clerk.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, providing a verbal informational report for the Disability Services and Behavioral Health Divisions regarding the Hilltop Program Downsizing Initiative. This is also a mental health redesign enhancement, informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, I'll speak first, and then Ms. Lyde and others will join in. As you recall, we have done an assessment of all the clients currently residing on Hilltop, and we have identified approximately a third of those clients could be looked at and reviewed for potential community placement. We eventually hope that all clients will at least be reviewed and discussed in terms of community placement. We've actually identified 30 potential clients with the hopes that we can downsize by 24 beds. We have notified the state of our intention to do this downsizing, and the state has a very prescriptive process for this in which they create a downsizing, a placement team, a relocation team. This team is very comprehensive. It includes an ombudsman, representatives from DRW, a relocation specialist, other resource staff from the state from the Disability Services Division, as well as our staff, including both clinicians and administrative staff. In order to move forward, we've done a number of things. We've had a guardian meeting with the guardians of the clients that are being reviewed. I would say that at the guardian meeting, as you might expect, the reactions covered the full spectrum. Some guardians were extremely excited about the opportunity. Some were guardedly optimistic, and some were really very distressed and concerned because they're concerned about that their loved one has been with us for a period of time and had felt comfortable with them in our care. The team has had two meetings and continues to meet every other week. What they're currently doing is reviewing each of the clients in a very careful, thoughtful manner. They're looking to identify what are the strengths of each client, what are their potential support needs, what are their medical needs, and what might be some guardian needs. For example, if someone needs to live close, lives to be placed on a bus line where the guardian can get to them, those kinds of things, or guardian requirements. They've begun to identify some potential placement issues, places, and beginning to work with family care and other providers in terms of looking for opportunities for these clients to move out into the community. The group is meeting every 2 weeks. They've had two meetings so far, and they're meeting every 2 weeks very actively, and in between much work is accomplished in terms of continuing to work with the clients and their guardians. At the current time, we have three vacant beds, and we're continuing to work very carefully on the discharge and relocation plans of other clients.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. Please pardon my cold, but I'm going to get through this report. As part of this initiative, one of the issues was to provide investments and develop more community-based resources. And about 3 months ago, the Disability Services Division actually brought a report to extend a contract with a provider for our crisis respite home. At that time, we were proposing to expand the 4 beds to 8, and we had had some challenges with that existing provider because of accessibility. We recommended to extend that contract for the balance of the year while we developed an RFP and we went out and sought a new provider that could provide accessibility for that crisis respite home and also expand those beds from 4 to 8. This report is a recommendation which moves to enter into a contract for the balance of the year with a new provider. That provider is NRS. They are actually a group of gentlemen who collectively have had over 12 years experience in working with individuals who have intellectual disabilities and individuals who have behavioral challenges. They have come together and formed a new company, which is NRS, and in fact they are here today They are very interested in supporting individuals who might be relocated from Behavioral Health Division. We are fortunate in this recommendation that we have two locations. Both locations are four beds, which are going to be accessible. And we also know that because they're going to be smaller in nature, that it is really more conducive to supporting individuals who have aggressive behaviors. We've begun some transition planning with the existing provider, and they really, I think, spoke very favorably about the four-bed options that we have and the accessibility. So we're real excited about this. I think this new group also is very interested in seeing what other resources they can bring to bear to help support individuals that might be transitioning from Hilltop. So while we are recommending a two-month contract for the balance of the year, it would be our intent next year that we would recommend a contract with them when we come back in December with our contracts for 2012. So I hope you will consider this recommendation. I just wanted to add and follow up what Paula said about the relocation effort. The relocation team is really kind of a vital team in this process, and they will guide all of the transitions and follow the progress of individuals as they're transitioned from Hilltop. And the Disability Services Division is the division that will provide the options counseling. But I think a critical piece here that I just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of is that the care management organizations are really the organization that once individuals have the options counseling, they select where they're going to go, will be the entities that will provide the ongoing support. So we're trying to, as best we can, augment those resources, make sure that individuals are successful, making sure they understand what their needs are, where they best might be successful, given the treatment team at BHD, they've had experience with them. They know, you know, some of their triggers. And so we're trying to make sure that is to the extent possible that we support them. But, you know, in the final analysis, the care management organizations, and one of them, which is the Milwaukee County Family Care Department, is one of the options. But there are other community options. There are other agencies that do provide services, and it will be the guardian's choice as to which one of those options they select. So with that, if you have any questions.
Okay. Supervisor Harris?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wanted to get some clarification. I might have notes. I should know the answer already, but I actually don't. And primarily because I'm getting phone calls from community members who believe that, you know, we're starting to put people in the community, which some people we have, but it's really not a whole lot of people to date. But I'm just curious, how are we handling complaints and or establishing some type of accountability when an organization within a neighborhood or a community is not, we're starting to become a disturbance or potential disturbance to that community. What are we doing around that to educate the community of our efforts to downsize in preparation that there will be some complaints, there will, you know, and we need to make sure there is some accountability and you know, and be able to handle the situation very well because there are concerns.
Okay. Well, I think here again, the actual delivery of services, it lies with the care management organization. That would be like the Department of Family Care. They are paying providers, and they are the ones that are providing oversight over the services. We are really at the front end of this process. We are doing the options counseling, and we are then trying to make sure that we've developed some community services so that individuals are successful. But typically what happens is many of the providers who operate group homes in the community have residence councils. They engage the neighborhood. neighborhood so that they know that they are living there. They're vulnerable individuals. They have regular meetings with them. They address concerns so that they are truly a part of the neighborhood and a part of the community. And for years, I think that we've learned that to the extent you can engage neighbors in understanding that there are vulnerable individuals, but there is supervision. There are there individuals 24 hours a day. Individuals do go out. They go to day programs. They go to work. They come back. So that it is truly, I think, a community engagement. And many providers do that, and they know that that's very important because there are some communities where individuals have concerns, and there are some individuals who do have non-typical types of behaviors. There are some individuals that have some aggressive behaviors. I remember a gentleman who used to scream when the wind blew, and he'd be in the backyard just screaming. And we got constant complaints. And so we needed to work on how we channeled that energy and made sure they understood, you know, what these behaviors were, and we worked with the neighbors. So I do think it's a collective effort, but here again, all of those providers are paid by the care management organizations. It is their oversight and their responsibility. They monitor quality, you know, as in the family care program, they have a nurse and a social worker that goes out to make sure services are being delivered. There's also oversight by the state on many of the group homes where they can complain. They have compliance officers. So there is, I think, a number of oversight issues and that we try to monitor, and they do try to work with the communities. We have only just begun our process of relocating individuals. I think Ms. Lucy said maybe there were two individuals, and not all of them are going to be in group homes. Some are living in apartments. You would never know that an individual with a disability is living in your community. But we do always, I think education is an ongoing challenge. It's an ongoing issue that individuals with disabilities live in communities like everyone. While there may be some challenges, I think we just have to work with them and keep educating people about those challenges so that they're not afraid and recognize that as we go through, there may be apartments, there may be individual adult family homes that are supporting individuals. So I do think we all work very hard at trying to make sure that neighbors and individuals understand that and understand they have no reason to be fearful.
Okay. And thank you for that explanation, because that's really what I was looking for, that there are some accountability measures and quality measures in place to be able to, you know, address those phone calls, because we get them as county supervisors, sure. And sometimes it's, you know, you're not sure where to go to take that information, and obviously we're calling you, but I just want to be able to communicate that well to my constituents on what steps and measures are taken, because I understand we're not putting that many people in the community, but there are still facilities out there, and it's in people's neighborhoods, and they call the county on those issues. So.
And if ever you get a call like that, I mean, feel free to call us. We'll do a little background work and find out if we know where it is and try to see which care management organization they're connected with and make sure that they take a look at it. We're happy to do that. That's part of our advocacy role. And we feel real strongly that we need to play a part, too, so that people understand, you know, what's going on.
Thank you.
And please do that, because I did a ride-along with District 7 police, and I was shocked at the amount of homes that they had for people with mental illness that were not licensed or registered with us at all. And so there were just, you know, people who had a duplex with four bedrooms and were, you know, renting out rooms to people. And we got three calls. It was a Friday night. I always want to pick a day where there's something going on. And so I think it was a Friday night, and we got at least three calls from three separate homes. And so, it can be a huge issue, especially if you don't have people that have the expertise that are running those facilities. Supervisor Mayo.
Oh, well, thank you, Madam Chair. But that was a state that we have unsanctioned group homes. We also have those providers that you talk about. give those individuals those homes, put them into those homes. Mm-hmm. And that's my concern, is that when you have those other providers say, okay, fine, here's some people we just want to put in there. We got to look at the quality service, and we got to look at the standards. And the standards that some of these other providers are providing and putting these people in the home and let them go free. Because I have called phone calls, and I want to thank you, Ms. Lade, because you got on it right away. But there are some who's harassing people. Mm-hmm. There are some who's going around and just yelling up and down the streets. And you say, where'd they come from? And you stepped in a couple of times. And they're not talking to the neighbors. Even though you made this elaborate statement that they should reach out to the neighbors, some neighbors say, we didn't even know they was there mm-hmm. until they mm-hmm. started having issues with those individuals. Mm-hmm. So you need this. I don't know how we can deal and get a committee of all the providers together and start a council so neighbors can go and say, these are the people to talk to. Mm-hmm. Because the alderman's going to say, first, call county.
Yeah.
And that's their motto, call county.
Mm-hmm. I would only say if there's any of these calls that are of an urgent nature, of course, you could always use our crisis team and you know, always refer somebody to that, and our mobile crisis team will go out and see what's going on and work with those individuals and then get back to family care about what's going on at a particular contracted agency that they might have.
And just the other thing on housing, I think there's the whole spectrum of housing. There are unlicensed housing options, there are transitional housing, and I think that many times it's difficult, particularly when a person is their own guardian mm-hmm. and they may be living independently and they may have some, you know, not 24 hours, 7, but maybe some periodic support, you know, just in making sure that person, you know, does have a right, but there are times, situations that do happen.
Right.
And so it's trying to balance, I think, a person's right, you know, and many times who's living by themselves, you know, things do happen. But there is, you know, some oversight, and I know the housing division has worked very hard in trying to, you know, connect particularly with those transitional housing options and those that are unlicensed where you might just have two people living independently. You know, sometimes it's not as much oversight. But certainly I think, you know, we're available to continue to do education. And most good providers that we've had contact with over the years know that your community is your major source about educating if you have a licensed home or you have someone there, because they can be your best advocate. They do work together. There are many neighborhoods where it is like a family. They, you know, they do things during the holidays. They bring individuals gifts. Even the individuals that live in the home do things in the community. So, you know, it is working together to make, you know, it possible for everybody to live.
Thank you. All right. That is an informational report, but it does have to do with item number 16, which